There we go. Hey, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. Number at station 541-388-1110. Go ahead and give a call in. I don't think I'm going to make you suffer too much. I'm certain that the anguish of wondering what barkitecture is probably getting at you. So let's just get that out of the way right now. I thought that it was a pretty fun article. I tried to bring in a couple today that at least were fun to talk about, so I'm not just, you know, pounding the drum about everything that's wrong. I don't want to sound like all the other news outlets. Barkitecture, spelled B-A-R-K, as in dog, okay? Basically what's happening is there are a number of people and a number of building styles. What they're trying to do is implement articles into the home construction because more and more people are actually accepting their pets, particularly their dogs, as a member of the family. And to design into the home some features that allow it easier to maintain your pet and your home and maintain that balance and make it happen just seems to be inevitable, you know. And if you know, since the time of, it was kind of an interesting transition, at least, excuse me, I found it an interesting transition. You know, when we went through the lockdown of COVID and all that sort of thing, suddenly people discovered their backyard and they thought, wow, that's kind of nice to have an interface between the outside and the inside. And then now they're realizing that they're actually spending a little bit more time in their home maybe than they used to. And now suddenly design features and colors and all of that sort of thing are more important to create a way of life, a lifestyle, if you will. So the article reads, Barkitecture makes your pets the king of the castle. And so what it says is, you know, little things like, you know, a fenced-in backyard, a dog run. I like this term too. A catio. I guess that's an enclosed patio for your cat. But when asked, this one was kind of fun too. When asked, you know, does the concept actually add value and interest to the property? 43% of households in, this is a couple years old, 2020, said they'd be willing to move to better meet their pet's needs. That's nearly half the folks making that, which is pretty good. So what does barkitecture have staying power? Is this going to be a passing fad? That was a question that was asked in this. And it encompasses a number of innovative ideas. Originally, it was used to describe the construction of dog houses, obviously. And then now pet owners are starting to put the design in their kitchens and their bathrooms. And barkitecture is here to stay because of the growing demand of property owners and their acceptance of animals as true family members. So what type of pet-friendly home features are they prioritizing? Most pet-friendly design is, you guessed it, the dog wash in the mudroom. You know, that's one of the things that we're seeing an awful lot out here in the real estate community when you're seeing some of these newer homes, and particularly if it's either in the mudroom or in the garage, and that place where there's an elevated tiled enclosure probably has a handheld rinsing hose, a shower head, whatever you will, to be able to, a flex hose, that's it, what we call it, elevated platform of flex hose with a shower head on it so that the pets, you can clean up the muddy paws, take the messes and do all that sort of thing before moving it into the house. And there were a number of different styles of that were pretty interesting. But this is one that I didn't think of right away, which is another popular one, is installing hidden food and watering stations. Where the one had actually a recess in the wall, and directly above that recess in the wall was one of those fixtures that you see in some of the fancy houses sometimes for filling the pasta pot with water so that there's water. You know, you can fill it right on the stove and not have to carry it across the room. I don't know how you empty it, but that's a whole different deal. But anyway, that same fixture, which there's some pretty nice ones, mounted above so that there was a recess in the wall with the food and the water dish there, was just slightly elevated so it was off the floor, which I guess is good with older dogs, but also to have the water right there so that you don't have to slop it around the house and move it. So, you know, obviously it avoids spills and that. A good location for this is either in that mud room or on the kitchen island. In our house, we've got a rule the dog's not allowed in the kitchen, but not everybody honors that same rule. But it's really, really helpful, and it's really helpful, I guess, in training puppies, you know, because they know exactly where it is, and, you know, puppies obviously, drink a fair amount. But it's interesting that our home and design would have a design component in it to accommodate our pets and animals that are becoming so much a part of our lives. And then another one, which was kind of interesting, hadn't thought of it personally, but there are a number of people now that are buying fresh food, and they subscribe to some of the fresh food delivery companies and that sort of thing to bring high nutrient food for their animals. Well, the possibility of doing an under-counter refrigerator for Fido so that Fido's food isn't in the same refrigerator as everybody else's food was sort of an interesting deal. So again, that's called barkitecture, and apparently barkitecture is here to stay as long as we continue to want to have we want to have pets, and we're going to have pets living with us. One of the things they were asked too in this article, which was most unique, and apparently there's even some folks that are using some different things to either convert the pantry area into a luxurious lounge for the dog, or taking some crates and building some furniture for them so that they can have their own furniture. Depending upon how much you love your dogs, if you don't want them on your sofa, maybe build them one of their own, I guess is probably the answer to that. So anyway, you now know what barkitecture is as well. So I think that the thing, I've got enough time on it because I'm not an interior decorator. So this year, where the last few years, you know, we've gone through these kind of really vanilla years. You know, for years and years and years, I think the term was Navajo white. It was basically a really light beige, and you just painted everything Navajo white. It was okay. And then in recent years, we sort of transitioned into this contemporary, everything's gray and neutral, and the only color that you bring is the artwork and maybe bright furnishings and all that sort of thing. Well, now I guess they're ready to drop the gloves because it says start the year with bold color and pattern. So we can go pretty wild now. I guess the gray on gray on gray has passed its time. So homeowners now, they're spending more time in their home. They're craving more individuality. Excuse me. But, you know, the thing is, when you go down the bold road, it's one of those things that it's pretty easy to get a little carried away. A little bit too much, you know. So when someone's saying go bold, it doesn't mean that it has to be uncomfortable to the eye. It means that, you know, there's some things that you can do with patterns to bring some excitement, personality, and energy into a room that was previously laying pretty flat. And I'm not going to quote any of these individual people, but the bottom line to it is that there's a number of different things that have happened that are kind of cool. You know, one, if you do, particularly when you're dealing with colors and wallpaper and that sort of thing, it's not forever. You can change it. And one of the things that I found interesting in this article was that wallpaper, they've made it so that you can actually get it back off the wall once you place it on the wall, which was a problem there for a while. You either had to paint over it or put on another layer of wallpaper. But apparently now they've got some new technology that does that. Now with the new printing, too, they can do some different things on different materials so that it makes it easier to keep it clean and keep it going. So you can get better performance out of your wallpaper and fabrics because they're easier to clean. The synthetic quartz, where previously you sort of wanted that to be, you know, really neutral and really bind. They can put some veins and some texture in it. And the thing that's nice about putting some of that texture in it is that it conceals some of the stains and scratches and that. It increases the wear when you get that really pure manufactured quartz. And then there's no texture to it. Obviously, you can see any blemish on it that there is. So to add a little bit of texture to the countertops is one of the things that's being recommended here. And then it said that, you know, keeping a mixture is always a good thing. You know, if you're sort of timid with it and you don't really want to go really wild with your patterns, maybe some herringbone or something like that. That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. If you really want to go big and do something that's a paisley pattern with 2.5-inch paisleys on it, and that it's going to be pretty bright. Well, then if you do those sort of things, or the other one too was a floral mix with geometric angles and things added to it, but to to use an accent area or a focal area to do your expression, and then to add some curves and move off of it, and then sort of minimize it a little bit, minimize the eye impact a little bit by not having it so active absolutely everywhere that you look. So one of the things that they were talking about was the ability to maybe go pretty wild on the walls, but then do larger solid color furnishings, pillows, things that are sort of neutral. You can always use stripes. You know, you can go solid color furnishings, minor patterned rugs, decorative pillows, blankets, and stripe patterns are a classic and are always a way to sort of settle down some of the eye activity that's happening in the house. So I guess at the bottom line here, they're giving me the look like it's time for us to go. So again, that deal about the wallpaper, you know, really look into that, the wallpaper. If you're thinking about going with a, you know, nice loud wallpaper and really going off, making sure that it's one of those that's formatted in such a way that A, it's easy to keep clean, and B, it's easy to remove when you decide maybe you want a little less activity in the room. But it's pretty nice. So this year, go bold. So I want to thank you so much again for tuning in to Ask Fred Johnson here, the voice of Central Oregon Real Estate on FM News 100, 1110, KBND.